You know, we are so privileged here in the United States to be able to come in here and not being afraid of being arrested coming in. You know, some country, they find out you're a Christian, boy, they harass you and they beat you. And it just, I don't know. I try to explain to people that, you know, we worship the Lord. And I know some might be used to, you know, one or two songs when you go to church and that's it. And that's fine. But how can you shut up worshiping the Lord? I mean, just without Him, I'd be nothing at all. And none of us would be. And so He's just so worthy to be to worship. And people are giving their lives right now to worship the Lord. And I just want to share one thing from Haiti to kind of... Can you put mine up there? Yeah. To let you know what's kind of going on. And this comes from the Evangelical Theological Seminar of Port-au-Prince, which is over there in Hades. It says that Pastor Stanis Stifson was traveling home through, I can't even say it, the name of the city, I'm sorry, with his family Saturday when their vehicle was attacked, and this is over in Hades, by a gunman. And one of their children was killed in the attack, and the pastor and his older son are in the hospital now recovering from gunshot wounds. Okay? So, it just shows us there that evil is out there. It was trying to stop the gospel. The pastor knew of the threats on him and his family. But he said, I'm going to serve the Lord. And he was out there serving the Lord. And here in America, we have come under a little bit of persecution lately. And I say a little bit because it's a little compared to the rest of the world. What we need to do is be prepared for great persecution. God has been exposing the things of the United States to us as we cried out to Him to heal our land. We had no idea how evil was penetrated throughout our government and throughout people. So God's exposing us to it. He's going to heal us for His glory. The United States will recover. Soul becoming of the kingdom, and then I believe through our studies the church will be removed, the rapture will take place, and the great tribulation is going to take place, is how I read in the scriptures. Revelation 4:1, when He told John to come up here, I'll show you what's going to happen. That's when He took the church out of here. The last thing He wants us to do, guys, is just sit down and wait for Him to come. I know you're getting tired, you're getting wore out, but I'm telling you, this is the greatest time of the church ever to be. I'm telling you what, it used to be you weren't sure who to witness to, you know. Everybody out there now, you need a witness to encourage. We need either encourage brothers and sisters who's walking with the Lord, who's giving the life to Christ, and say, come on, one more day, you can do it one more day, or those who have not, man, to share the Word of God, however He leads you to do that. You know, like Brother Paul said, you know, if he's around the poor people, he was poor, around rich, he was rich, around the Jew, the Gentile, and stuff like that. But he was saying, Paul was saying, he could always find common ground with somebody he talked to. He always finds something in common. You know, to start the conversation, a lot of us be football, that might be baseball. Hey, what do you think about them Cleveland Browns, Charlie? Yeah. We spend a lot of time praying for you, for him. He'll give us. We have a desire to serve Him. If our heart is, man, we don't want to see anybody perish, He'll give us a way to get a conversation to share that gospel. A lot of nice people out there. A lot of nice people out there doing a lot of great things, okay? But a lot of them are headed to hell. You know? I mean, if we get to heaven by being nice, I've been there a long time ago. No. But see, and it's good to do nice things, but we have that sin debt. And Christ paid that. We have to receive it. We have to acknowledge our own sin. And I share with people that, you know, if you sin, it's not your fault. You're born in sin. Okay? You know what you're doing. Okay? But if we stay in sin, it's our fault. You know? We all used to have a cushion at one time was, you know, hey, I was born this way. God made me this way. No. Why? You know what it is. God only made two people, Adam and Eve. And say, okay, I want you to reproduce after your kind. He said the same thing to the grapes, the apples, and all of them. You're going to reproduce after your own kind. But before they reproduced, they fell into sin. That spirit that God breathed into Adam and gave that connection thing, boom, it separated. Wow. So So we're born in sin. And the good thing, I don't care what your sin is, I ain't gonna actually tell me what it is, but Jesus said we all need to be born again, born of the Spirit. So whatever it is that you hang on to, if you're in that, it's okay. God will cover that. God will forgive you of that. But how can people be forgiven of sin if they don't know the sin? Amen? I mean, if I'm behind here preaching sin is okay, hey, you know, listen, you're made in the image of God. It's okay. It's okay. Stay the way you are. Okay? Okay. Get back up. Yeah? How would you know? See, it comes to us, you, me, everyone. I might be in front of you today, but you got the same calling I do, and that is to minister to the lost and share the truth and the love of Jesus, but not backing down from the truth, okay? But we do it in a loving way. If you're a liar, if you're a thief, if you're a gossiper, fornicator, adulterer, homosexual, if you, all that, those are sin. Amen? Well, I got three amens on that, okay? But it's a good thing. I mean, not the sin, but it's a good thing God tells us. Because, man, I lived in my simple way for 43 years. Now, I'm born again, but I'm still not perfect yet. Amen? But I could justify every sin that I ever committed. Because you know why? It was your fault. Your fault. It was my fault. Amen? And that one Sunday morning when I heard the gospel, and it kind of, I mean, the preacher brought it out, I knew the Holy Spirit that penetrated my heart, and He gave me a choice. And man, I went down that altar and surrendered my life to Jesus, being born again. And so I want that for everybody. You know, I got born again, I couldn't shut up. I haven't shut up in 21 years. I know, guys, I know. No, it won't be a long time today. Still kind of weak from the COVID, but I'm getting better. But I don't know, I don't want to see anybody go. My worst enemy... Well, I don't really have enemies anymore. Well, I suppose people don't like me, but I don't want to see them in hell. Because they're blinded. They're walking the same way I did at one time. And I always try to, okay, Lord, help me out. How can I present the gospel? You know, sometimes the gospel is presented by never saying a word about Jesus, but being His hands and feet. You know? Wow, I treated you that way, and here I am sick, and you brought me soup? Wow, well, I don't know if I want to drink it right. Yeah. But see, it's tearing down. Because in this world today, man, people aren't, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And man, we are a peculiar bunch of people. Amen? Amen? You say, well, I don't know at times. Well, hey, when I start my day out in the morning, it's all I always pray God for strength and wisdom. Help me keep my mouth shut. And let me share the gospel. Amen? And one thing nice about this COVID, we come through, me and my wife did last month, I'm up now at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, which to me, I mean, I'd be in bed till 8:30 in the morning, and this time to come down here. But He rejuvenated me. I mean, He just put a fire back inside of me. We spent like 30 days in the Word of God, lost 21 pounds. Amen. I gained a couple of it back already, but it was funny. The week before, I went through that keto stuff. You all ever been on keto? I mean, I got down to 176 pounds. Woo! And then this pandemic came, right? And I use it for every excuse in the book. Come on, eating bread and stuff. And I went back up about, I had lost 52 pounds. And I went back up about 28 pounds. And the week before, I told Carol, I said, man, I'm going to get back on that keto thing because I'm just not comfortable anymore. I mean, I bought all new pants. I could hardly breathe putting them on. And who knew that God heard me? Now, He didn't give me COVID. But I'll say this. This is Ernie Starkey speaking, okay? I have nothing to do with the shot. Me and my doctor talked about it, okay? I'll go for qualified immunity, natural immunity, okay? And we received, we got the COVID, but it has really been a blessing now because, as he brings this up, I have more compassion for those who have gone through it. Amen? And that's one thing I've been crying out to the Lord this year, give me compassion. And what caused Jesus to do what He did? Compassion. And so if you're having a difficult time praying for some of the people in the world and the way things are, if you're having a difficult time praying for Mr. Biden, I really believe you should call out the Lord, give me compassion. Give me compassion to pray for those in authority. He didn't ask us to pray for those in authority. He told us to, amen? And so we have to. We pray for it. And I pray that their eyes be open to see it. But I also, as I prayed earlier, I pray that justice be served, that evil be stopped, they be removed from power. If need be, prison, but God let mercy be applied, that their eyes would be open, you know. You get a bunch of us together, we all act the same way, you know. And we'll be boldness, macho, if you guys and stuff like that. You get us separated one by one, we're wholly different. We start listening, amen. We start listening. And so if it takes the removal, placing those who are guilty into prison, God meets a lot of people in prison, I'm telling you. And not just jailhouse religion. There's a lot of people met the Lord in there. I met Jesus in the jail and I was running it. You know, amen, amen. So I just want to be encouraged. But boy, our relationship with Jesus has to be sincere. Amen. It has to be sincere that we want to. And if you lost your compassion, you're like, man, I'm kind of humdrum. Lord, stir me up. Stir me up. God, I want more of you, more of you, more of you. You know, and just keep praising Him. Going through a tough time, praising Him. You're having a great time, praise Him, you know. He's worthy to be praised in everything that we do. We can always find something to be thankful for. Amen? And that's, again, that's something the world's not used to. But inside of us, man, we want to. Because God can take all things and what the devil means for evil and turn them around for good. For those who love Him. He didn't say for those who are perfect. We're perfect through Jesus. Why are we perfect through Jesus? Because our sins are forgiven. Amen. But like Paul said, we don't abuse that system. But listen, don't let the devil shut you up. You're out here and you mess up. And Lord, I acknowledge I messed up. You're still in the blood. Just keep on going. Keep on going. Amen. But I'd like to take a moment here and acknowledge our veterans today. We'll wait till one of them gets back here. But I just think it's so awesome that even to today, men and women are still joining the military. They're still seeing how awesome our nation is. And willing to put their life on the line for the rest of us. Now we have a tradition here at SCA. And my wife always sings a certain song. And she's not here today. But here in a moment, I've got it recorded from 3 years ago, so we're going to play her singing. The audio isn't the greatest, but what we have that we honor our veterans with is we have a $20 gift card for Bob Evans. That is still American-owned restaurant. As far as I know, I haven't seen any Chinese food there yet. And we just want to bless you all with that. So, if you would, I'll start this row first. If you could stand up, your name and what division you were in, Bob, you feel like doing that? Or just tell me what it is. You don't have to get up, okay?
1945
mm-hmm. in the Army, served in the Pacific, Well, Bob, you have a dinner on us today. Thank you very much. I saw a hand, brother. Yes.
John Collison, I served from 87 to 93.
Thank you very much for your service. Amen. Fernando. Yes.
Fernando Morales, 82nd Airborne Ranger, Vietnam, 1970 to 76.
Amen.
Thank the Lord, made it through.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Dinner on me.
Thank you, brother. Yes.
I know you prefer to have Mexican food, but I don't have any there. So. Yes, brother.
Ned Tumlin, United States Army, 60, 62.
Wow.
Took basic training at Fort Knox. Was at Fort Sill Artillery Center. I was in Germany for 19 months, peacetime.
Yeah, amen.
No, didn't have to miss Vietnam, so kind of thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much for your service. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I was up for the draft in 75. That's when they stopped it. You know, I had like 100. My number was 132. So whether I would win or not, you know. So, yes, Charlie. Okay.
Yeah. 1980, 76 to 1980.
Okay. Amen. Yes, you did. You served. Marine Corps?
Army.
Army? Yes. Amen. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is that everybody? Let's see. I think it must be.
I was in the service from July 1974, United States Navy, stationed aboard the USS Nimitz, Plank Over, 1974 to 1976. And at the time, it was the world's largest warship. Mm. And they're getting ready to decommission her, and I get a piece of her.
Oh, you do? Awesome. Well, thank you for your service. Yes, yes. Anybody else back here? Okay, that's awesome. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you should slap me. Oh, you know how the service men are. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, yeah.
One of those lucky ones that I was in the United States Air Force.
Wow.
Peacetime during the Reagan years.
Yes.
From 86 through 88.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Oh. You mentioned Reagan, dear to my heart. And, oh. I got time. Yes. I can't remember to Vicky. Vicky's husband, he's in heaven today, born again Christian. He served in the military to honor his service. Bob Evans, yes. Thank you, man. Am I missing? Do we have any other widow or widowers here that their loved ones served in the military? They went on. Matt, okay. Again, my wife keeps a list for me, and I don't have the list. So, is that everyone there today? Huh? Oh, Ryan, yeah. Gee! Yeah. Well, he's in my heart. Oh. How can I forget you, Ryan? My lands. Yeah. Thank you, Zane. If you tell us about yourself.
2000 to 2008, went to Iraq in 03. Come and join in the battle. Come and give us your all. We rose up to follow, leaving all else behind, and joined in this song, to reach someone's mind. We said honor to serve, to join in the fight, to lift up my voice, to lay down my life, to give glory to God. It's an honor and honor to serve. On the day he was captured, they locked him up in chains, and the weeks turned into years, but his faith remained the same. As his body was broken and his dark hair turned gray, each night in his cell he would stand up and say, it's an honor to serve, to join in the fight, to lift up my voice, to lay down my life, giving glory to God. If you run in return, it's an honor, to serve. One day the war came to an end, and spoke from his heart as he stood among his men. We're honored to have the opportunity to serve our country under difficult circumstances. And we're profoundly grateful to our Commander-in-Chief, to our nation, and to God of America. As they lifted the flag in the front of the crowd, I watched him stand up and bring his hand to his brow. Lord, help me remember what true honor means, and no matter the cost, to stand up and sing. It's an honor to serve, to join in this fight. I will lift up my voice, I will lay down my life, giving glory to God, seeking none in return. It's an honor, an honor to serve. It's an honor to serve, to join in the fight. To lift up my voice or to lay down my life, giving glory to God, seeking none in return. It's an honor, an honor to serve. It's an honor to serve.
But, you know, the song goes to out to every one of you guys who serve. It's an honor to serve. And you lay down your life, and you did that, you know. And some of you guys were kind of like, well, I served during peacetime. Listen, that's awesome. Because the power and the strength of our military, people don't mess with me. You know, I could walk down the street today, and some of you guys might mess with me. If I walk down with my son, you probably wouldn't do that, okay? And that's where it is, our military strongness. You know, now some people, they get foolish ideas attacking us, and we have to go out there and get them. But I'm telling you what, everyone who serves is just as important as the one that we call on the front line. Okay, because people can be on the front line with somebody back here, either getting equipment ready for them, feeding them, or whatever it might be. And like the church here, you know, I'm up here in front of you today, but I'm just part of the body of Christ. You guys are praying, you're sharing the gospel. Some of you clean the floor, clean the toilet. It's all together as one. God sees it as one. He doesn't see me more spacious than you. You're doing what God signed you to do. That's when you finish your race. That's what you're going to be held accountable for, you know. Amen. But Ash Ryan, and I won't have it real long today, but Ash Ryan, just, I want him to share with me what it was that got him into the military and the different step process. I asked him to keep it under 2 hours if he could, so no, but I just want to share this for a moment and how God's Word encourages us. So, Ryan? So I didn't forget about you this time.
I know, right? Well, I know a lot of us can remember back at a certain time when you're like, oh, I think that's when it began. Of course, I was born into a law enforcement family, a military family. My grandpa was in the Marine Corps. A lot of my relatives are in the military. My dad's been law enforcement for longer than I've been alive. So I think it's always been something that was inside of me from the very beginning. But I do remember one time, I don't know if you remember the Columbine High School shooting. That's definitely one time that I can think back in my life where it stirred something up inside of me. And I can remember telling my mom, see, that's why I want to do something about things. You know, that was the one defining moment in my life. Just seeing the pictures on TV, because I was still in school then, that I was like, you know what, I want to help people like that. That I just remember seeing everybody running out of the school, and they looked helpless and scared, and I want to be one that's running in and helping people, right? So between my junior and senior year of high school, I joined the military. I joined the Army, military police. When I joined, the recruiter, of course, they tell you everything and anything you want to hear. There's no way we're going to go to war. I mean, maybe China is our biggest threat. Back in this would have been 99, 2000, because I joined in 2000. Like, and China doesn't want to do anything with us because we're friends. We're making money for each other. I'm like, hey, you're right. I can go in the military, spend my 8 years, get my college paid for, and then I can put it on my resume. Sounds great. And then 9/11 happened. I was in basic training during that. I was about halfway through. I didn't even get to see pictures and stories of it till I was out. It wasn't until November-ish that I actually saw. But I remember being in basic training. I went to Fort Leonard Wood down in Missouri, Fort Lost in the Woods. Hot and humid and just a bunch of fun. But I started in July time and went through November, so it was right in the middle when September 11th happened. And I had people in my unit from New York, and they had no idea what was going on. But I just remember that was like when you're training and basic training, it has a certain feel. But at that moment and on, it had a different feel. Now it was like, okay, yeah, there is something that we're training for. We didn't do anything that day, and that day was basically batting down the hatches. We had no idea what was going on, but I remember, you got Bradley tanks and Abrams rolling through the base, fighter jets overhead, because we had no idea at that time if there was a large-scale attack or anything. So I just remember our drill sergeants coming out yelling at us, "You're going to war! This is your time!" We're like, oh my gosh, what just happened here? But even before that point, when I joined during my junior year of high school, I started getting prepared for basic training back then. That's been 21, 22 years ago, somewhere around there. And Dad rode a bicycle a lot. Back then he did. And we lived in Plainfield then, and I'd be running around Plainfield doing several laps around the village, and Dad was behind me and sometimes in front of me on his bicycle. And it was, if it wasn't every day, it was close to every day running. And that was something I was good at back then. I could run forever. And I did. When I joined, I was 130 pounds. When I went to Columbus and went through MEPS, I was 130 pounds. 8 years after that, I got out, I was 185. So there was a transformation between there. I think every one of anybody who's ever served, not only in the military, but has served someone else, the Bible says there is no greater love than one that sacrificed himself for another. And that word sacrifice doesn't just mean dying for someone else. It means laying down your life. I mean, laying down things that maybe you want to do or things that you had in mind for someone else. And we do that every day. We saw Jesus obviously make the best example of that. But turning it around to our own lives now, laying down our life, laying down what we thought we had plans for, and saying, all right, Jesus, you can have it all. What are the plans that you will have for me? And that's how you lay down your life for him. And like Dad said, no matter if you went overseas or you served during peacetime, we all made the same decision. You come about that decision the same way. You're saying, hey, I'll do whatever it takes to protect the United States of America, no matter what. I mean, you don't make that decision. You don't have the decision, well, do you want to serve during peacetime or serve during wartime? All of us made the same decision at the same time in our life, basically, and that's what you did.
Same. Trained for combat.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the same way it parallels along with our Christian walk as well. When you say, Jesus, I'll do anything that you want me to do. I sign up for it all. We have missionaries that go over into these tribal lands. You read stories how they infiltrate, and I can't remember the movie of the true story of the missionary family that went into the tribe, and basically the tribe slaughtered them all. But then years later, that whole village and the whole island was saved. You know, that's the same. We signed up for the same thing. When I said, "Jesus, I give you my life," that's what it means. Now, chances are I'm not going to go to some island and meet tribal people and try to convert them and tell them about Jesus. But that doesn't mean that I didn't make that decision already. Right?
I mean, you might be
sacrificed. Well, and that's what I'm saying. That's right. But we make that decision at the beginning. So as we're training, you go through basic training. Like I said, there was definitely a point in the several month process where you could tell something was different. And of course, I went through basic training, graduated. That was in 2001. Of course, every guy that just went through basic training, every soldier, well, now they want to go to war, right? Well, I was like, yeah, let me go. Let me sign up for anything. I don't care what it is. I was stationed. I was in the unit in Zanesville, and they were actually already deployed to Missouri, where I was. I actually got to see some of them while I was in basic training. And they basically did military police operations at Fort Leonard Wood while that unit went to Afghanistan. So I was trying desperately, I want to go. You know, I just got through. I want to do something. And my cousin had told me, he's a Marine. He's like, you know what? They'll take you when they need you. You don't need to be, you know, jumping off the ship and trying to go wherever you need. They'll take you when they need you. And of course, 2 years later, in 2003, is when me and my friends went over and went to Iraq, and that was quite the experience. But again, the decision that you make at the very beginning is the same one for all of us. And they just don't dump you into a situation. They make sure you're trained up before you even get there. And again, I know we've talked about it before, but it parallels greatly with our Christian walk. You know, you're not just dumped into a situation. You don't say, Jesus is great about that, where you don't say, Jesus, okay, I give you my life. All right, now go. And he has this huge thing. Now, if he does, he's definitely going to give you some awesome, courageous grace or something in order to get you through it. But usually there's a process, right? And as you walk with him, you're trained more, and you build up a relationship with him. And that's the same thing as all of us know. The relationships that we form with our friends in the military are ones that we have for life. You know, when you go through things together, there's a certain bond that happens. And even when you, like, there's some guys that I haven't seen since 2004 when we came back. So that's, what, 15 years or so now. We could see each other today after all these years and pick right up where we were, right? Because that relationship was formed. Because you go through things together. And it's that same thing with you and Jesus. When you actually go through things together, that relationship is formed, that bond is formed. And no matter if you had some time away, when you come back together, you pick up right where you left off and you keep charging forward. So, is there anything particular that you wanted me to touch on? Okay.
Your experience there with us.
Well, that was a little shorter than 2 hours. Uh-huh. So, we can have an after party after this one.
Thank you, son.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I like the idea when you talk about the recruiter and says that, you know, don't we know war, nothing be going on? And I know sometimes they tell you can be whatever you want to be, and they're stationed in Hawaii or whatever. Then you sign that piece of paper, and it's not quite what you're going to get into. And there's a couple things I want to share with you, and then I'll close. But when we look at walking with the Lord, I might say it this way. For a lot of us, you might have been serving during peacetime. You know, our walk with Christ has been kind of quiet. It's, it was kind of like back in the days of the country church and the white picket fence, you know, and checking every Sunday, kind of laid back, you know, letting the world go by. But one thing about new technology is you see the whole world. You see everything else going on. And no longer are we serving in what we would call peacetime. But the Lord tells us up front. He's not like a recruiter who's trying to get more people for a bonus. If you were a recruiter, I'm not picking on you, okay? And not all recruiters would do that, same like used car lot people. Some tell you the truth, some doesn't. But God doesn't lie to us. Understand that. And Maybe for some of us, we didn't read the dotted line before we raised our hand and say, yes, Lord, yes, yeah, I receive your forgiveness, I receive your grace, woo, come into my life. And so I'm going to share a couple things with you where God shows you what's on that dotted line. But it goes back to, I believe, and I shared this last week, is in Romans. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, I'll read it to you. He says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So Brother Paul, who's been through a lot, warns us, man, listen, have your body the living sacrifice. It's no longer our body. We got to remember that. If you're born again, this body no longer belongs to you. It belongs to Jesus. Amen? Amen. And we have to remind ourselves of that, because we get wrapped up in the things of the world and walk away what God's called us. Now, I'm not saying you can't have things in the world, put it that way. I mean, if you like going to a restaurant, eating dinner, I'm not talking about that. We're talking about the evilness that's in the world. We're talking about the same place where God found you at one time and rescued you. Okay? Now, what you need to do is don't be transformed to the world, but the renewing of our mind. Why? Well, because we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. If every time I open my mouth, if Starkey comes out and not Jesus, then I'm not serving the one who called me. But he warns us up front, and this is really what the church needs to look at today. Each one of us got to realize where we're at, okay? Give you what it means to serve Jesus. And we find a couple explanations that the Master gives us. Luke 14, verse 27 and 28. Now, one thing we have to understand is that these are not suggestions by the Master. He's telling us what to do, okay? It's like, Ryan, all you guys in boot camp, you probably had a drill sergeant who got on you a lot and screamed at you, and, oh my land, I mean, Ryan, he's telling me some of the stuff his sergeant would say. You know, just try and get you fired up. But you know why he did that? He did that to get you prepared, okay? If you can't take that from a friend, how are you going to encounter an enemy? So he's trying to build you up, and he's trying to teach you. He wants you to survive when you get out there. And Jesus says the same thing, but he tells us in Luke 14, verse 27-28. He said, now whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? So, otherwise, we think carry our cross. See, we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to the lust of this world. We have to die to all the things that the world is doing. And pick Jesus first. And carry his cross. Be our own cross. And that's what it means to be a servant of the Lord. It's not, you know, I'll carry my cross on Sunday and I'll pick it up again on Wednesday. It's every day. He's called us to do that. And so how can we do that? Well, we just said earlier that renewing our mind, being in the Word, being in prayer, putting Jesus first, you know. Like he would say to the Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That has to be the attitude of us. Okay? And the devil don't like that. He keeps coming back at you. He gets in your head all the time. He tries to bring you back where you came from, trying to tell you, well, that's not right. That was then. Things are different now. I hear so many people tell me that, you know, that society has changed now. Well, the Word of God said, yeah, but that was back then, Starkey. Things are different. Well, if you go to the Old Testament, say, well, the Word of God says, well, that's the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. The Old Testament shows Jesus, and the New Testament shows God. It's both the same. God, Jesus did not get rid of anything in the Old Testament. He came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. And some reason, somehow we got away from that. You know, we're under grace. Yes, 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 yes. We're okay. Well, thank God for grace. Half of us wouldn't be here today if we've been stoned to death. I'd be one of them, you know. But it's not. Doesn't give us a license to sin. But it says, first, count the cost. It's going to cost you your life. What I mean by that? I mean, it could be a physical life. But it costs you the fellowship with the world. That you stand up. you're a peculiar person. Hey, let me tell you this joke. Man, the farmer's daughter. No, thank you. Amen. You know? Tell you, just one of the jokes you told earlier today about the, oh, what did the Clydesdale say to the little pony? Why?
A little horse.
Little horse, okay. That's a joke you can get into. But folks, not to be afraid to say, I don't want to hear that, you know. Hey, do you know what Steve did yesterday? I'm telling you, no, I don't want to hear it. Did you talk to Steve about it? Well, no. Okay, I don't want to hear it. You know, standing up for what we believe in. And when we do that, you're going to be persecuted, you said, okay. We're going to be persecuted. But man, that's the cost of following Christ. Did He redeem you from your sins? Are you born again, washed in the blood of Jesus? Was you headed to hell? If you would have died before you met Jesus, do you believe you would have been in hell for eternity? If it's true, this is a small cost for us to share with other people. If this place isn't our home, man, it's going to be in heaven, okay? That is our home. That's where our great reward is going to be. But until we get there, the reason you're still here is there's somebody in your life that needs Jesus. Either you need Him, you really need Him like you never have before, or there's someone that you encounter day after day that they need the Lord, and God is depending upon you to represent Him, to share the gospel, to live for Him, to bring Him into the kingdom. Amen? He's trusted you with it. The ministry that Jesus started, He gave to us. And not just gave it to you, He's all going to come and abide with you. Stay in My Word. I'll give you the Holy Spirit to strengthen us to do this thing. Folks, there's nothing that has to take place before the church is removed. I truly believe that. That shouldn't be a reason to sit back. It should be a reason to get busier. Busy. Oh man. Praying for people more. Man, one more soul for the kingdom. You know, I always said before, man, if you were came back 21 years ago, I'd be headed to hell. Because when He takes the church out of here, there's a blessing of the Holy Spirit upon this world. Because He lives in us. Now, we still have the 144,000 that's going to be anointed. It's going to be preaching to the Jewish folks. When we say the end of time, end of age, it's the end of the church age. The church is going to be removed. For those who truly follow Him, who love Him, who lay their life down for Him, He's going to come and take us home for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But it's a man counting the cost. Like Ryan, he didn't sign up with all you guys. You didn't go to boot camp for 2 weeks. Hey, I changed my mind. And did you? And okay, give me 80 more push-ups, will you? No. You know, something motivated you to sign up. Either you're drafted or you signed up to serve in the military. And sometimes we just got to remind ourselves. We got to remind ourselves, oh man, why did I decide to follow Jesus? Let that motivate us to continue. Because Jesus tells us in John 15, in the 18th verse, He says, if the world hates you, you know it has hated Me before. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, they will persecute you as well. If they follow My word, they will follow yours also. But all these things they will do to you on account of My name, because they do not know the One who sent Me. So if we look at Jesus' life on earth, He said, this is going to be you. Okay? You're going to be persecuted, be hated. People don't turn their backs on you. You might lose your job. You might lose the place that you live. Loved ones might leave you because they think you're nuts. I'm going to tell you up front, this will take place, He said. You will be. And folks, that's where we're at now. We're in the center of that. This is really coming up more and more. Because the devil knows his time on earth is short. He knows the scriptures better than most of us. He knows Christ is coming back. So He's pulling all the stops out, using all his lustfulness and all His lies and deceitfulness to try to bring down God's people. And we got to recognize that. And we need to live our life just like Jesus did. Putting other people first. How much longer? Until He comes. It may encourage you that, hey, one more day. How much more I got to see? How much more, Lord? How much more? Give me the grace and strength for one more day. Do it one day at a time. I know there's a song out there. But man, how does the saying go? Live as if Christ is coming back tomorrow. Plan if He's not coming back at all. Okay, otherwise, be prepared. Be prepared. And then in Matthew 5:10, he says, "Blessed are those who have persecuted you." I can hear my wife in my head already. Slow down, Starkey. Let them turn the pages. But this is what makes it all worthwhile. He won't forget about us. But Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 10 through 12, he says, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Remember that when you're persecuted. A lot of folks out there right now have to decide whether they're going to keep their job or lose their job. They're going to make decisions. Well, I tell you that God says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all that we need will be given to us. So when we stand for His, where we stand for Him, God's eyes is upon us. He'll meet the needs that we have. Now, a lot of us, we are blessed. We live in a lot of things that we wanted, right? Okay. But He says the things that you're going to need, what? The things that you're going to need to get to the finish line, God says, "I'll make sure you got her. You can stand there for me." But also remember this, He says. He says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Amen? And people say, "Well, yeah, but you shouldn't want money." Folks, I'll take all the money God wants to give me. Because you know how much the gospel preaches out for that? If you ever watch anything on television, you ever send Bibles to other countries? We live in a country that uses money. Amen? It's a love of money that's the root of all evil. And that's where our country is. You see all this stuff going on in our government? It's part of it because of love of money. They are so wrapped up and tied up. One more dollar, one more dollar, one more dollar. That's why they're forcing all this stuff upon us and trying to shut us down. They want one more dollar. They want the globalness. If you know the scriptures at all, one will govern, one will religion, one will currency. Look how close we are to that. They're practicing more and more of these chip things. Bitcoin is coming out. All kind of stuff taking place. Globalism, that's part of the thing we're in right now. This administration appears to be tied in quite well with China and other organizations. It's all coming because they want one. They want greed. They want one world government. And again, that's the scriptures playing out. Jesus told us that in these days that we're living in. All these things that's taking place, all this evilness, pestilence, even this COVID, he said it'd be pestilence this time. The earthquakes, the volcanoes. He said, "These are the signs of my coming." Folks, when they take place, with him coming back, folks, we come back with him. We're gone 7 years before that. As I study the scriptures. You know, some people say, well, the rapture will take place beginning of tribulation. Some say it will take place mid-trip. Well, they're right about both accounts. The church is removed when the tribulation starts. Because God will not send his kids to great tribulation. Halfway through, when the two witnesses at the Wailing Wall come back to life, come up, and the Lord takes them home, that's when the Jews, and those who have been born again, are taken out. That's the second rapture. But the church is taken out in the first rapture. I think you find that, I think chapter 11 of Revelation, I think that I'll show you what goes on. And then you don't want to be, when the Antichrist sits down on the throne in the temple in Jerusalem, that opened the eyes of every Jew. And that's when it's terrible on this earth. Terrible. In verse 11 of chapter 5 of Matthew, it said, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Wow. I know it doesn't feel good at times when people are rejecting you because of the gospel when you walk with Jesus. But he said, man, rejoice. Your reward in heaven is going to be great. You know, Christ went through all that he went through for us. And he wants us to go through what he went through for others. And the only way we can do that is if we stay in his word, stay in fellowship, and concentrate on him. Let the things of this world to encourage you to pray, to intercede, to vote, I mean, you know, God has given us this country to be self-governed. And when we became a country, we self-governed, we had God in our laws. I don't remember exactly how many it is now, but I think like two-thirds of our Constitution is wrapped around the Scriptures, around the Gospel. And when they say that we're not a Christian nation anymore, we are a Christian nation being attacked by evil. You know, God isn't done yet, folks. But remember, He works through us. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. Think of that. Everything that you do for Him, you're making a difference. Every time you share the words, you share the love, you're making a difference in somebody else's life. In your own life today, realize that God has a plan and purpose for your life, but it only takes place when we allow Him to be our Savior and Lord. You know, my plan and purpose He had for me, I would never have entered it if I had not come to Him. But because of that, purpose He had for me, man, I told you before, I was going to retire November 1st, 2004, grow my hair down my shoulder, buy me a Harley, and go back where I came from when they hired me 30 years earlier. But God had different plans, and thank God He did. You know, thank God He did. Now, I do see some guys preaching the word on Harley's long hair. Why He didn't call me to do that, I don't know. But I love what I'm doing today. But His main word today was to encourage us that you're not alone, that there's many more like us out there. And we just need to be bold to stand up on what God's given us, stand on His word. And it may cost. We see a lot of folks. I had a nurse text me the other day, and she wanted some guidance because they want to fire her because she won't take the shot. You know, she studied the shot, and for her, she doesn't want to take it. And she's asking about religious exemptions and this and that. And I said, well, number one, I said, so blessed. Anybody here watch the Victory Channel? Flashpoint? You want to talk about Christian news and how to pray and doctors and stuff that's not bought off, and you want to hear the truth? It's on. We get it on Dish Network, but the Victory Channel and Flashpoint. You get it on your. They got. I'm trying to click my phone. They have web, Facebook places. Now I tell you, that's where Newsmax. If you want some true news, that's where you want to go. But they had an article there in. Anybody was able to send her a couple of lawyers to handle these things. And then our Supreme Court stood up and said, hey, listen, they put a stay on Mr. Biden's rule about the shots and the mask. It's an overreach, okay? So all I'm saying, just don't lay down. Just stand up, do what you can, and share the truth. And I know it's difficult anymore if you do it on the internet, because seeing you post anything, they got disclaimers on it and this and that. So, you know, if you get a fact checked, it has to be the truth. You understand that, okay? But don't be discouraged. And again, be that light and be that salt to this world. Take negative things that come your way and turn it around. Someone who's just detrimental, they just see no hope at all. Share Jesus. Share that hope. That we're still making a difference for His kingdom. And I truly believe there's going to be a great revival. I'm telling you what. California, even New York, is catching on fire for the Lord. I've seen more and more people coming back. I mean, it's just been away for a while. And you know, we all can get tripped up in the world and forget our vision. But God is bringing people back. People are listening. And you know, we all were prodigal sons at one time. And God brought us back. And so I encourage you. And if you know somebody that's been in church in 20 years and they walk through that door, don't ask them where they've been. Just tell them, hey, I'm glad you're here. Amen. That's the hardest part when you've been out of church for a while and you go back in. Like, how can I face these people, you know? No, come on back. You don't know when you go back in the church. That guy beside you might have came back the day before, you know? And I had a guy, one day he came to church, he got born again. But he was going to the church and he quit going. And I said, why? He said, well, I went in there and sat down, and he has a lot of tattoos and stuff. And after the service, a guy walked up to me and says, hey, I don't think you should be in church. You got tattoos. And the Bible speaks against it. He said, I quit going. I said, do you mean the pastor came up there and told you that? No. One of the elders came up there and told you that? No. Who was it? Well, some guy sitting beside me. I said, that could be his first day in church. Who knows? Don't let that keep you out. A tattoo don't send you to hell. Understand that, guys. No. The Bible says in the Old Testament, but don't be tattooed. And that was meaning being a slave. My studies was they would tattoo the ears of their slaves. And the guy said, don't be enslaved to anybody except for Jesus. Amen? Okay? So I'm going to get that teaching there. But yeah, come as you are. I mean, God loves us. We've all come from somewhere. Amen? You know, I've had guys in church here get born again and I tattooed all their arms. And one fella, he's in heaven today, but thank you. But he had a tattoo of a lady. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. He said, man, I wish I never got that done. I said, brother, I'll help you save up money and we'll change that tattoo into something different. Amen? But he passed away before he got it done. And like I told him, the other guy I had, he's on the wall up there, he had the F word on both hands. Okay? But you know what? He gave his life to Jesus. And we were able to use that as looking where I come from. You know, you try to keep it covered up. But God uses our scars for His glory. Amen? And some of our scars is on the outside, and some are in the inside. But we use it all for His glory. So don't let people be turned away because of stuff like that. And speak up if you could. So I thought we ended up coming to church here, got born again, and studying for the ministry, but he passed away, so he's in heaven today. Well, I can say I have every blessed hope he's in heaven. God only sees his heart, but I have every reason to believe he did. So, amen. Anybody got a question or comment this morning? Anything? Okay. Again, to the veterans, thank you so much. And for my brothers and sisters serving the Lord, don't give up. Continue to serve. And one of these days, man, it's going to be a great revival. And there's going to be a great homecoming coming home. And I encourage you to see our loved ones again. But Father, I thank you again for our brothers and sisters. I thank you for our veterans. I thank you for our military. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you your word is still alive and active. And we speak it, Lord, it encourages us and it strengthens us. And Lord, as we leave here today, it's our desire to be more influenced by you. Let our light shine greater. And Father, we say, just bring those in our path that you already equipped us to minister to, Lord. We know, Holy Spirit, you'll give us the right words to say. So we just say, Lord, we yield ourselves to you more and more. And God, may you always be glorified. And I say that may the good Lord bless us and keep us. May he cause his face to shine upon us and watch over us. May he be gracious to us. May he give us your peace, strength, and may each one of us walk in the victory he's given us. And his blessings rest upon you, your household, and all the generation that's following after you, all your inheritance. And may all this be used for God's glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.